I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. Jumped on the Bloke in a Bar podcast with Denham Kemp. Earlier today we spoke all about all the news in Rugby League and we went through the first eight teams in the competition, spoke about their squad and changes and the average age, average games, played experience, everything. A real deep dive into each and every team. That'll be coming out over the next 2 weeks, the first eight teams we did today, so that'll be available on this podcast over the next few days, or you can go and listen to it on the Bloke in a Bar podcast. This afternoon though, going to drop the first bit, which is about half an hour or so, just talking about all the breaking news in rugby league over the last few days. We're talking Ash Taylor, we are talking Jaden Brayley, and of course we're talking Nelson Asofa-Solomona. Really good chat, a bit more in depth in my podcast the last few days. Enjoy guys, let's kick it off.
Just a bloke in a bar.
What is up ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Bloke in a Bar. We're back. We're feeling better than ever. Guru, I've got the great Guru beside me. Mate, I don't think I've ever felt this good.
Refreshed and ready to go, huh?
I'm refreshed and ready to go. Honestly, I may have caught a new variant because I'm feeling aggressive.
Blood variant.
Feeling dominant. And my testosterone levels are through the roof. So I don't know what the variant's called. Maybe Denicron? We'll call Denicron. It Denicron. Because I'm feeling fucking aggressive and dominant. It's a great time to be a footy fan because we're getting through those last few weeks. Guess what? About 4 weeks until the first All-Star match.
Mate, I think Matty said it best last night. The cricket finished and he said it's footy season.
Yep, I mean, fair. Let's just get it done. Let's, you know what? Let's put fucking some more trial matches in. Let's play like really obscure local areas. Like Logan versus fucking Bankstown. And make that an All-Star match. How about that? Let's just get fucking... Start January 1st, season starts, and we get eight trial matches in before the season starts. I think that's what we should do. I'll speak to Vernandes. I'm sure he'll be keen on that idea. First of all, brought to you by the beautiful Bloke in a Bar. I've been having one too many of these over the summer. Crisp, easy drinking. And I tell you what, watching the cricket with a bloke in your hand, that's the dream. That's the dream. I was listening to The Weeknd's album, The Weeknd, you know, The Weeknd Sam. Mm-hmm. And there's a poem at the end of it, and it said, "You got to be heaven to see heaven." And when I drink a bloke, I feel like heaven. And then I see heaven. So if you want to see heaven, like The Weeknd, well, it's Jim Carrey actually that said it. It's on the outro. Great track. Great. You know, actually recommending CDs. That's how old I am. I just said CD.
CD.
The Weeknd, absolute banger of a CD. But these are the stores that are in the spotlight. G.A. Ritchie's, Ellamore Vale, St. Kilda Hotel, Armidale, Tats Hotel, Innervale, Inverell, Coogee Cellars Bottle Market, the great Coogee. If you don't go to the Coogee Pav, stumble on down to the Coogee Cellars, I'm not here. IGA Blaney, Newcastle Celebrations, N17 Burger Company in Port Douglas, Legends Forest Hills Wagga, Celebration Jaspy Perth, Belvedere Hotel Woody Point, and Saltwater Creek on the Gold Coast. That's my stomping ground, the local boy, the local country boy of Mudrabar. And also, Falvey Celebration Superstore in Goodna has found some bloke in a cardigan cans. They are limited edition. We will never make those again. So if you want to get down to there, get down to there. But we've got some huge news. All of Newcastle yesterday, basically, I heard the Novocastrian heartbreak across. It was almost a seismic shock. Brayley, Achilles injury, 4 to 6 months out.
Is this the worst possible timing?
Yes.
For Newcastle, imagine.
Yes.
Like, not even season 22 franchise.
Yes.
This is, for those playing at home, KP, he's got until, I think it's round 16. I think it's June 30th. He has to make a decision. Does he stay for another 2 years or not? It's in his favour. And it looks like Brayley's going to be out for that entire time. I was worried without Pierce. Without Pierce and Brayley. Serious Barney.
Like, I cannot express the Barney that Newcastle are in right now, because as we've already discussed, the first half of the year, their whole MO was re-sign Kalyn Ponga, and it was already a huge uphill battle. Huge uphill battle. And then to lose Brayley, who was also your captain or co-captain, it is absolutely, when they're already light in the halves area, like that was their whole concern with the Knights was, they don't have a spine that has played together, that is a recognised seven or six. You know, obviously Clifford is developing. Mm. To lose Brayley, who I think actually had probably a career best last 16 months.
I thought for the first half of last year he was a top five hooker in rugby.
He was really good.
That was off an ACL too.
Exactly.
What he could have done this year, it's heartbreak.
Yeah, because he was playing some good footy at the Sharks, especially towards the end there. Then obviously he did his ACL. But when he came into Newcastle, they looked like a different side.
Yep.
They honestly looked like a different side. What are your thoughts? I mean, how dramatic is this? Are we talking this could hurt the club for the next 4 to 5 years? And I don't mean in the sense that it's going to hurt the club because they play poorly for 1 year. I'm talking about the fact that this is another obstacle in not re-signing Kalyn Ponga.
So when you think about the Newcastle season, and Matty can probably deal with this, but the first 8 weeks, they play six top eight teams without Brayley, without Pierce. I think they play Roosters round one. I think they've got the Cowboys and the Dragons. They're the only two non-top eight sides. Cowboys, they play in North Queensland. I mean, if it wasn't for a barbecue last year, Dragons potentially sneak into the eight. Like, it is a tough draw. And then, and I was talking to the NRL physio the other day, and he was saying that Brayley, best case scenario, comes back 5 months. Mm. Sort of did the maths. 5 months puts him at about round 13 or 14.
Yep.
So let's say he plays 3 weeks before KP has to make this decision. They go bye, Penrith, Canberra and Canberra.
Far out.
I was looking at their draw, and I wouldn't be surprised if by the time KP has to make that decision, they've won 3 games of football. It is a tough draw.
Do you think that Newcastle have gone from we need to re-sign KP in the first half of the season to we just need KP not to sign with someone else for this year?
Yep. You know,
just get on the free market and then have a crack at him at the end of the year if we go well.
I thought it showed last week when the CEO came out and, you know, the rumours spread about KP's old man getting a job.
Yeah.
And he came out and said, oh, we're going to sue the arse off anyone.
That was aggressive.
Very defensive.
Yeah.
Very sort of looks like you're already on the back foot there. So now that this has happened, I'm worried about Newcastle in 2022, but it doesn't compare to how worried I am about this franchise over the next few years.
Absolutely. They are going to, if they can somehow get through this, it would be masterpiece, like an absolute masterpiece by the admin to be able to keep Ponga, get Brayley back on the field, put some wins together towards, I mean, who knows? You know, maybe there's a rookie that's going to come in and kill it. You know, we never know. But
I would also argue, I think Kalyn Ponga at his best could get them through this.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's at the point in his career where he's ready for, and that's no insult to KP.
Mm.
He's young. He's not a 29-year-old footballer. Yep. He's still young. So it's, I honestly don't think there could be worse timing.
When I didn't believe it. When I saw the news, I was kind of like, surely not. Like, there's no, like, 4 to 6 months, that sounds outrageous. Like, how did you, and then obviously there was a few people that posted about it, and that's when you kind of know, like, look, this looks like to be confirmed. But it is, for Brayley personally, he'd come so far from a player that, you know, he was good, but he developed into a leader at, what, 24, 25 years old? Yeah, it is absolutely devastating for the Knights, and I truly take no pleasure in the fact that they are in a really tough spot. I mean, we were already kind of saying, I don't even think Kepi's going to stay, even if they have everyone on the field. Like, even if Mitch Pearce stayed, Brayley was fit, I still think they would have faced a massive uphill battle.
I still think KP would have looked around and gone, Pearce is 32, 33.
Absolutely.
It's not going to last re-sign. Forever.
Yep.
Yeah. At the same time, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I hope I'm so wrong and I miss the mark by a mile and KP re-signs, but I don't know. The optics aren't great.
I totally agree. Because KP is... He's essentially the biggest superstar in our game. When you look at all the metrics, you know, his Instagram, so I know that's not the only metrics, but he is a brand bigger than, you know, probably any...
Stuff matters more now than it ever has.
Ever has. You know, maybe like you've got like a Latrell Mitchell who is a massive brand, but obviously very polarizing figure. I don't know why, but he, you know, obviously he's my mate, so I'm biased. But Kalen Ponga, on the other hand... You know, some people, get polarised. It's mainly out of jealousy because he's, you know, a younger-looking kid that's killing it. But he is quite universally, not universally loved, but his fan base is just kind of like a rabid fan base. So for a club like Newcastle, who has really, really struggled basically since they lost Joey, to lose their next shining star that was such a bright... How do they recover from that?
Who's I think it market? Shows how hard... Because I look at that Newcastle. I love their front row.
Yep.
I love their back row.
Absolutely.
They've got two strike centres. They've got good outside backs. But when you don't have that spine, it just... It's almost irrelevant, all the rest of it.
Absolutely.
Like you can compete, but you can't... You can't... Like, you're missing the cake. You've got the icing all around it. You just...
Yep.
You don't have that spine. You're in serious trouble, so...
Especially with the standard of the game now. You can't just get away with, oh, we've got two hectic back rowers that's going to punch holes through you, because they're really not. You need to be picked apart these days. And where does that come from? It comes from the nine. And what's even more ironic is I almost feel with the rule changes, the nine has become even more important than it used to be. Whereas when the ruck was slow, you could almost have a nine that did his tackles and just gave good ball. Whereas now the ruck is fast. You need an elite hooker making high-end decisions constantly, like over and over and over. When you look at the Knights and then you look at, like, a Storm who have Harry Grant and the Cheese in their squad, right? It's almost unfair.
It is. And the domino effect in 2022 is now who's going to play hooker? I think Chris Randall will, but I don't think he'll play 80 minutes.
Is it
every
Kurt
week.
Mann? Does he get
all of a sudden Kurt Mann has to be the 14 to play a bit of nine? You've lost him as an option at 5'8".
Yep.
Now you've got to find someone else to. So, and if they have one more injury in that spine, like what if KP goes down at some point next year, which he missed a heap of footy last year?
Yeah.
What a Newcastle! Yeah. Where are they scoring points?
You're totally right. And I mean, when you look at so let's say you've obviously lost Brayley, so you go Clifford and Feeney Crossland. That's a young halves pairing in a club that is already trying to build something. Also, Adam O'Brien, he must be going, fuck. Like, everything he's gone, he would come from the Roosters, and rightly so, he took the head coaching role, as you would want to do, that's what you want to progress. And he's walked into a club expecting that he could take the same things that happened at the Roosters, just apply it to the Newcastle Knights, and... Had a really rough, not a really rough first year, because they still made the finals. It hasn't been shocking, but I think that he just hasn't, he hasn't reached the heights that he may have thought he has. But he has also been extremely unlucky, like the injuries in key positions constantly.
That's the NRL though. At the same time, it's brutal, but it is what it is. You know, I was just thinking too, you know, when KP's got to make this decision, the 3 weeks before that, he's going to be in Origin camp with other rep players or at other clubs, talking to them. That's
big, because
you almost don't want him to get picked if you're the Newcastle Knights.
Honestly,
you don't want him to go and talk. Yeah, that's
put it this way. I know multiple big signings that have changed their decision after speaking to people in Origin camp, because that's where the cream of the crop. They know what's going on. They know what coach is like this, what club is like that. They know the right and wrong decisions. So you're totally right. Him going into camp and, you know, maybe being... Here's a good example. Let's say for some reason, and I'm just going to use Cameron Munster because that's an example. I'm not saying that this is going to happen. But let's say Wayne has had a vague conversation with Cam Munster and then KP goes in to camp with him. And all of a sudden they start talking to each other. Hey, bro, are you going already? Maybe, maybe. Like, this is just a scenario. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but this is how it happens. Mm. Where two superstars come together and say, let's fucking do it, you know?
To add another layer to it, I would put money on that Wayne is calling Felice Kaufusi and saying, when you're in Origin camp, sit next to KP at every lunch, breakfast, dinner.
Absolutely.
Sell it as much as you can.
Yep, yep.
That's going to be the scariest thing when he leaves Newcastle camp, walks into that State of Origin camp, they're building a new franchise in Queensland under Wayne Bennett. Once again, with all due respect to Adam O'Brien, if I've got a phone call from Wayne.
I mean, it's essentially every coach.
It is what it is, yeah.
Yeah, every coach except for maybe Bellamy and Robinson. But even, you know what's crazy, is even Munster was wooed by that Bennett magic. Even Munster coming out of that Queensland camp was kind of, you know, in awe of, you know, Wayne and how well he had treated him. And that's a guy
and
that... He's going back to Bellamy. Yes. So, yeah, crazy, crazy times at Newey. I really hope that they pull through this. This is what I hope happens. A young guy comes in, he blows the scene apart, and we go, holy shit, how good is this young hooker? I hope Clifford continues to develop like he has. I felt the last 10 weeks of his season was really good. Well, not really good. I thought it was good. And I hope he continues that development. And I hope Kalyn Ponga, you know, arrives as not the young kid with talent, but, okay, this is a franchise-defining player that can truly take a franchise up into that top finals footy. That's what I hope happens. Mm. Do I think it's going to happen? I think they've got a huge battle to re-sign Ponga.
Mate, you look at where they finished last year. They were seventh. For me, the gap between them and sixth was...
Yeah.
A gorge. Like, it was massive. And I think of the, 10 teams below them, I reckon six have improved.
Mm.
Newcastle's got worse, dramatically worse.
Yeah, they did not look as good as they looked last year. Well, obviously, the year before. 2020, yep. There was stretches of footy that I was pretty impressed with, Newcastle. 2021, I never really sat there and was like, oh, shit. Like,
even when Pierce was there,
yeah.
I was still like, they're not competing with these top six sides.
No, I agree. And obviously, you know, I'm sure Newey fans would be like, well, hang on a sec. They took the Eels to the death in a finals game. That was one game. I never really saw, you know, a stretch of games where I was like, fuck, Newey are taking that next step. Whereas in 2020, I actually did see, you know, 5 to 6 to 7, 8 games where I was like, fuck me, Newey look like they're actually going... progressing into that six area. Now, I know they faded off into the end of the season, if I recall correctly, 2020, but we still saw that high-quality footy for a longer period of time, I think, in 2020.
I look at next year's or this year's competition and Brisbane have to improve, Cronulla have to improve, Canterbury have to improve.
Yeah.
Competition gets harder and they've lost more of their key positions.
Tough, man. So tough. So, Jaden Brayley, mate, all the best on the recovery. Yeah. I hope you get back as soon as possible, as safely as possible. Devastated. Now, on to the young. Well, he's not... I mean, he is still kind of young. He's 26, I think.
26, yeah.
Ash Taylor upgraded to a full-time gig in the Warriors. I think this is great signs for... this is absolutely great signs for the Warriors. You know what's crazy is... And first of all, I'll ask you, what are your thoughts on the... Taylor getting that upgrade.
I love Ash Taylor. Always been a big fan of him. I think I always think about the best juniors I've ever seen, and Ash Taylor's a top three for me. He was a first grade halfback when he was 15. He was unbelievable. Wow. Like there was a carnival where he was the halfback and Branko Lee was his 5'8", and Branko was just bigger than everyone, so he dominated. But Ash, he was kicking 40-20s. There was repeat sets from all over the place. He's always just been different Ash Taylor, you know, without getting into money conversations or whatever. I think it has had an impact on him. And I think going to a new club would be fantastic. And he's not the guy there.
Yeah.
No. Sean Johnson is. He can be the six. He can, yeah, I mean, it's not his jersey either. He's got to compete with Chanel Harris-Tavita, Cody Nikorima. I'm really excited for Ash Taylor. I think he's still got so much more to offer. It's scary to think he's 26. It feels like he's been around for 15 years, mate. Ash Taylor. It feels like people have been bagging him for 15 years.
Yeah, literally.
I'm very excited about him.
Now, did you know? Now, this is from 40.20 on Instagram. In Ash Taylor's 115-game career, he's played with 12 different half partners and 7 different coaches. That's a new halves partner every 9.6 games and a new coach every 16.4 games. I tell you what, obviously, you know, the $1 million price tag, it was inflated. Mm. The Titans needed someone, and you know, good on Ash for getting that contract. But you cannot tell me, now I'm not, this is not to say that, oh, poor Ash Taylor and he's just been hard, not at all. Like, this is footy, this happens. But you cannot tell me that's the best environment for developing a young half.
For sure. I mean, he came in with so much hype as well. It was, and I mean, I'm sorry, is he the first guy to go to the Titans and not be super successful too? Like, it's not like he walked into the Melbourne Storm or the Sydney Roosters. Yeah, I feel very sorry for Ash, I think. And I'm like you. I'm not saying he's played unbelievably great football. Mm. But if you think he doesn't have the potential, you're kidding yourself.
Yep.
Absolutely kidding yourself. So I'm really excited for him. I think it's a good move by the Warriors.
I think it's more a case of, has this initial part of his career scarred him so much he'll never recover? Or can he push through that block and continue to have the fight to be a high-end NRL player? Because it's not talent. Even like last year and the year before, we saw, you know, you see moments of brilliance from him. Now, again, not saying that he's going to do that. This is absolutely not a case where, oh, he's just been unfairly maligned. No, he's played some pretty poor footy, and I'm sure he would say the same thing. But at the same time, he did have a couple good years, and the environment that he was coming up in, not a very good environment. So I think this is great for him. Great news.
I think it could go either way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm all for supporting Ash Taylor, always have been. So, yeah, I think if we get the very best out of Ash Taylor, it's a win for rugby league.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a win for the Warriors. If they can get a high-quality half doing his best, like, that would be fantastic for the Warriors. Absolutely fantastic. So, who knows? But the positive is we're seeing some progress. It's not like the Warriors, he got down there and they were like, oh, man, no way, this guy's done. And you know what? At the very worst, he's on a minimum contract and he's a reserve grade half coming in, filling in for you. It's fantastic.
And the other thing about the Warriors, I mean, if he was to walk into Newcastle, you'd expect them to sign him straight away. Mm. Warriors don't really need a 5'8 there.
Yeah.
They've got Nikorima, they've got Chanel Harris-Tavita, so he obviously has impressed.
Would you, if you're the Newcastle Knights, send out the bat signal to Ash Taylor?
Maybe.
I would seriously consider it.
You need
Seriously.
Someone to walk in there. Yeah.
I'd be looking at guys like Aiden Caesar, Ash Taylor. I'd be looking for some experience. I know Ash Taylor is obviously, you know, only 26 years old, but just someone, because there's...
I like the Caesar call.
So, I'd definitely be going Caesar. Like, he's... I just felt like a lot of Raiders fans didn't really appreciate what he did for that side going to that grand final. Like, what's the one thing that the Raiders have missed? It's just a really steady hand in the seven role. Don't get me wrong, George Williams I thought was explosive and played some really good footy. But and I'm not sitting here saying that Caesar is a better option. But I also think that he was underappreciated at the Raiders because he wasn't flashy, because he didn't do the crazy plays. Look how good Whiten played with him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know? And a lot of Raiders fans don't agree with that, which is fair enough, that's your opinion. But I get it in the comment sections all the time when I talk about Aiden Caesar. They're like, oh, you know, he couldn't kick and he was bored. Like, he didn't really have much to his game. And I'm like, yeah, but you can't all be super. You need your battlers that get through
but
it.
But I would also argue Newcastle, they don't need an out-and-out superstar that's going to score 15. They just need direction.
Yeah,
they've got absolutely. A good side. They've got a great pack that will compete with every other pack in this competition.
Yep.
I mean, I love Mitchell Pearce. Mitchell Pearce isn't a, I'm going to do it all off my own back.
Mm.
He just... He has structure to his game. That's all they need. Yeah. So I don't mind the Aiden Caesar one. There's
what about this? This is more left field. Do you send the bat signal to Corey Norman?
I'm pretty confident Corey won't even respond to it. I'm kinda.
Do you just?
I kind of think
ask.
They already have. To be honest with you.
You reckon?
Yeah. And I don't think Corey wants anything to do with it.
Wow. I mean. Like, they've got to send it to someone. Someone's going to... I agree with you, though. I mean, once you're gone, you're gone. Once you've said, I don't want to do this anymore, especially when he did have options, like Corey Norman. It's not like... Obviously, he's not going to be getting an 800K contract somewhere. It would have been a minimum, you know, last-ditch chance kind of thing. And for him to just go, you know what? Like, see, he could have gone to Super League and killed it, in my opinion. You know, I know sometimes... I know he struggled for form at the Dragons, but... Insane. He did make the Queensland side 2020.
Oh, mate. And there's no halves.
Yeah.
There's no halves in rugby league. We're so short on them, it's not even funny. I mean, And I mean, even if Corey was to go there, he would be the scapegoat the moment he walked in. It's not worth
it. It's not worth
the online bullying is not worth the minimum contract for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. But it is a good thought process of like who's out there. You know, like Corey Norman just retired. Ash Taylor just been upgraded to Warriors. Aiden Caesar, I'm not sure how happy he is over there. He might be loving Super League. You know, do you bring back Blake Austin? Like where, like who else is there? So the Knights have found themselves in a position where there's no one on the market and they're just in a tough spot. I feel so sorry for the Knights. Far out.
And this is where over the last year there has been a heap of halves on the market, but they had Pierce. So they didn't it's a cruel game timing-wise.
Yeah. Because there's no way they're letting go of Pierce if Brayley does this before.
Not a hope in hell. They don't let go of Connor Watson either if they have it their way.
Oh, Connor, I totally forgot. Oh, my God.
But the last 3 months, has been a nightmare. It could not have got worse who they let go and whatnot.
I totally forgot Connor Watson. And guess where Connor Watson is basically training to play at the Roosters?
Yep.
Hooker. And that's a fact. Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. That's fucked.
Would have been handy to have KP's best mate in Newcastle at the same time.
Wouldn't be handy to have their best ball runner essentially outside of KP in that spine area. Out of the forwards, you could argue he's one of their best ball runners. He breaks a lot of tackles. He's constantly at high energy.
I would argue out of the Newcastle squad, KP is the Connor Watson is probably the most suited to the modern game.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I reckon the Roosters have identified that.
Yep.
And gone an explosive hooker that we just need to teach a few things. We just need to train him up a bit. Yeah, we'll sign him.
Play halfback, 5'8", lock, fullback.
Yep.
Second row.
I totally forgot about that, man. That is fucking crazy, man.
It's a shit fight.
I feel so sorry for the Knights. That is. All right. Now, this is really interesting because it gets worse for the Knights. Well, not worse, but, I mean, maybe it does. Stafford Toa, who I fucking had a lot of raps on, big, powerful boy. You get him in a good system, he's going to be good, real good. And I'm sure if I remember correctly, he was, you know, made the all the junior rep sides, everything like that. I could be wrong, but if I remember correctly. And when he did play, he looked strong. Like, he wasn't, you know, he's developing still, very young, signs with the Tigers. First, we'll just go through the Newcastle's pain. Do you think it was good to let him go? Because they've got guys like Dan Gagai, Bradman Best, Anari Tuala.
Heimel Hunt. There's a few guys there. I think Edrick's still there. This kid can play, though.
His upside is quite substantial. Like,
well, he played fullback coming through the juniors.
Okay.
And he was really handy at fullback. Might need a fullback in 2023, let's be honest here. So, but yeah, I think we're scratching the surface of what Tuller can do.
Wow. And so did he made all the rep sides in that coming up?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure with rep sides, but I saw him play for Newcastle when he was coming through, and I'd be shocked if he didn't make the rep teams.
Yeah, okay.
He was very handy.
Okay. So,
and he was always playing fullback, and I mean, I think a lot of the time he played on the right wing for Newcastle so far in his career, and mate, you could get a cold on the right wing for Newcastle because they're so left side dominant. So I really don't think we've seen enough of him because Tuala sort of strapped down that left edge. So good signing for the Tigers. That's the one spot I was a little bit worried with the Tigers, their centres and everything. But I think he'll be a good little get for them.
I think it's great. I think Tigers, their fortunes have just flipped around. All of a sudden, you've got a young gun like Toa willing to go there as well. I think it's a great signing, a really good signing. Ads, what do you got?
Stafford Toa played Aussie Schoolboys and got man of the match.
Aussie Schoolboys got man of the match?
Yeah, and he also played Junior Kangaroos.
Could be worse. What was it? Was he playing fullback? Can you tell?
It doesn't say here. I can find out, but it doesn't say here.
Fuck. Yui.
How old is he? What is he, 20?
20, I think, 21. 21.
Yeah, okay. Oh. Cool.
Oh, man.
That might be the first sign. Tim Sheen's been involved in the Australian Schoolboys for a while now. That might be him also starting to pull his...
His weight around?
Yep.
Maybe I'm overreacting to this Newcastle situation. Maybe I'm overreacting, but to lose a junior, like a junior Kangaroo and an Aussie Schoolboy that's winning man of the match at fullback.
I keep thinking I'm overreacting and then I look at it again and I'm like, I'm not sure if I am.
Yeah, fuck. Sorry, I mean, nice, mate,
everything we're talking about, that is without them having another injury all year.
So true. Yeah, I'm sure Knights fans are listening to this going, bro, Stop. Yeah, just a correction from Maddie. So he played Australian schoolboys, got man of the match, but then he played for the junior Kiwis, so obviously dual citizenship or, you know, however his eligibility works, after that. Not junior Kangaroos. Okay. I mean, still, doesn't matter.
Kid can play.
Yeah, the kid could, when you're getting man, especially in like that schoolboy side, like that's a fucking hard side to make. And I'm assuming fullback.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to assume. If he's getting MOM, you'd have to assume he's playing fullback. Good enough to get to the wing.
Far out. I just can't express enough how... when you're in an NRL squad, if you get the Aussie schoolboy coming into your squad out of school, that's a massive get. Mm. And when I was part of the squads, you would see that. Be like, oh, fuck. You know, we've got... you know, for example, Darius, when he came into the squad, or when we both came into the squad, it was a big get to have Darius because he was an Aussie schoolboy fullback, I think. And there's, think about it, there's 16 clubs, and you landed for that year the Aussie schoolboy fullback.
Yeah. He actually played centre.
Centre?
Yeah.
So he's a fucking freak.
Yeah, so he can play everything.
He can play everything. Yeah. And he got man of the match from centre.
Yeah.
Jeez. Think about it. Okay, so there's 16 clubs. All recruiting, like they're all, you know, recruiting as any, and you get the Aussie schoolboy man of the match in your squad. That you essentially you're getting the best center in the country or in the game. You know, maybe it was a one-off game, but I doubt it. He made the Aussie schoolboys in the game. That's a massive get, especially when they were a bit light on backs. Anyway, so apologies, Knights fans, but it's just been one revelation after the other. Now on to some Storm fans' heartbreak. Big Nelson Asofa Solomona has been leaked to Japanese rugby.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The great Japanese rugby. You know what's really cool about Japanese rugby? They name their teams the companies that they are.
Yeah.
So it's like Sony 13 or something. Yeah, or like
Panasonic.
The Panasonic punters. Yeah. You know, whatever it is. It's crazy how different cultures just do things differently. But you know, like if you're a sponsor and you're pumping money in, I'd want that shit.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah, 100%. So he's been linked to Japan. This is all, you know, vague. There's no real confirmation that it's going to happen. But he has been, it's due to the fact that, you know, he has hesitant to take the vaccine. And in Melbourne, to be out of work, you have to have, again, apologies if I'm wrong with this, you have to have taken the vaccine, I'm pretty sure. It's also been linked to other Super Rugby clubs that aren't in Victoria. But what do you think this does to Melbourne if they lose a guy like Nelson Asofa Solomona?
I was running some numbers yesterday and NAS, I think it flies under the radar. Over the last 5 years, he's missed 16 games of football.
Wow. Big boy like that.
He missed 9 last year. So in the 4 years before that, he missed 7. I looked at Cameron Smith's numbers over those 4 years. Yep. He missed 9.
Wow.
So he played more games from 2017 to 2020. That included 4 final series, 3 grand finals, 2 premierships. He missed a grand total of 7 games.
Wow. Big boy like that. That's very rare.
Mate, unbelievable. Yeah. I had people say, oh, yeah, but he's on the bench. It's like, fuck, he's running into a train crash every 15 seconds.
People that... You may not understand, it's not the game, it's the training. Yep. It's the training that's harder than the game. People love the game. It's fun. It's getting absolutely oost at training. That is incredible for such a big fella. I honestly think this is a huge loss for the Melbourne Storm because when he was injured for those 9 games, and that was last year, wasn't it? They were really struggling to bend the line. And when he came back, all of a sudden, he was skittling players on the edges. And without the impact that him and Cheese brought off the bench in 2020 and Tino Asofa Solomona was almost the difference between them and the other teams. They would come off the bench, Tino, Cheese, and Nelson and absolutely skittle sides. Because we forget how dominant their finals run was. When they actually came back from the break, they were getting beaten. And we were all going, oh, Storm are done. Mm. And then they took them about 10 weeks, got it all together. And that's probably coincides with NAS coming back to a degree. And so if they do lose NAS, like in today's modern game where skittling defences is so important because then you get the quick play of the ball and then it just compounds, I think it's actually a massive loss. Massive.
We spoke about with Newcastle how they'd obviously regret letting Connor Watson go now. Mm. I think letting this Aaron Penne go to the Warriors, I think he's going to have a huge breakout year for them. He was in the Melbourne system.
Yep.
Like the other side of this is that they've lost, well, they've potentially lost Tui Kamakamika as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's your two big bodies coming off the bench.
Yep.
I know that they, you know, that game against Penrith last year, they lost Brandon Smith, they lost Christian Wells, they lost two bodies. Like you saw the impact that had on
absolutely
their game.
Absolutely, yep.
This is huge. And you look at the guys that they're going to replace them with, they're not those big bodies.
They're not. But
they're more...
I will say they've got a young guy coming through. I think his name's Jackson. I can get his thing up here. They've got a young guy coming through and he is a fucking gun. He was one of the most sought after players coming out of Schoolboys a couple of years ago.
Is that Haworth?
Haworth. Yeah. He's a fucking gun. Now he's nowhere near as big as Nelson, obviously, but he's a good player.
He's a centre though, isn't he?
Well, he was playing 12 in school. Now maybe if I'm remembering it, I'm pretty sure that might have been Union, which is centre.
Yeah.
But he's a big centre then, because he's quite a big boy.
I think he'll be a centre or a back rower. Yeah, I think he'll be one of those two. But I mean,
but I'm talking about impact.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they've got Tepoi Moroa.
Yep.
I think he could be anything as well.
Yep.
Especially under Craig Bellamy.
He was really good at the years before he went.
Very good. Yeah. They've also got Josh King, who they signed from Newcastle. Who, if he's playing Origin in 2 years, is anyone surprised?
Yeah. Melbourne Storm. Beautiful.
Just Craig Bellamy just doing what Craig Bellamy does.
Yeah.
There's a reason, you know, with all due respect to Josh King, I think I could have tripped over Josh King last year and not known who he was. Mm, but there's a reason why Craig Bellamy has gone out and targeted Josh King. So I have no doubt that they will get something out of him as well. So it just means that they'll probably have to adapt how they go about their footy a little bit. Missing that impact off the bench is just such a big hit. Yeah, see, they've got him written down as a centre. Scroll to the top.
Centre, okay, yeah. Interesting. He's 193
he's
centimetres,
big bit of gear, though. Yeah.
105 kilos, 19 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he was playing in the Brisbane competition up there, Union, schoolboys.
Yeah. Okay, so that was the number 12 that I've seen in my head.
Yeah, this is him, yeah.
But
they all hold him in high regard.
19 years old, 105 kilos, 193 centimetres. That's a big boy.
Yeah.
That's a big, what's that, 6'3"? 6'3", 19. I mean, he'll end up at 110.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm.
I'm bullish on. I'm really bullish on him. I was really impressed with when I watched his highlights. The way I saw him play, and I could be totally wrong. And I mean, actually, you know what? I'm definitely wrong, because if they put him as centre, they're right, because it's Melbourne Storm. But I actually think laterally in the NRL, he's probably going to struggle a bit at centre. I could be wrong, you know, totally wrong. But I think his body is more suited for a back rower.
When I watched his highlights, it mirrored Angus Crichton to a T.
That's a perfect
when
example.
When he was at Scots, totally. It was the exact same. Sort
absolutely.
Of,
and he's bigger than Crichton too, which is crazy.
Unbelievable.
Him at centre, I just don't know how he would go up against, say, I was going to say Tom Drewevich, but who's going to go? I just don't know how he would go laterally in the NRL because it's so explosive out there. Dane Geiger, for example, you know, he's
insane that if there's any system for him to come
into,
this
totally.
Is it.
Totally.
Like, but yeah, I think this kid's got huge potential, but for me, he doesn't fill that void of a Nass and a Tui. It's a different kettle of fish. I mean, mate, if we don't see, if Nass goes, you got to remember Brandon Smith's leaving at the end of next year.
Totally.
There's a lot of momentum going out of that side.
The way I see him filling the void is kind of like Angus Crichton, you know, the Roosters don't really have big, you know, a big Nelson, the Skittles defences, but they got an Angus Crichton on the edge they get to a lot that gets quick play, like it's just such a good ball runner that gets quick play the balls. And that's why I was, when I thought he was a back rower, so he's a centre, so this is all bullshit now, but in my head when I thought he was a back rower and the way I had seen him run, I always imagined that they would be doing a lot of two-pass shifts, hitting lines and then going again instead of just relying on Nelson to do it. But you're totally right. When it comes to the exact same game plan, he isn't a like-for-like. And the hard thing is there are pretty much no like-for-likes when it comes to Nelson Asafa Solomona in that middle.
There isn't, yeah. They've really played that much football as well on top of that. Isn't it crazy blokes are born in 2002 now?
Yeah, absolutely.
He wasn't alive for the Olympics.
That's crazy. Good sort too.
Yeah, he's a good-looking rooster.
Fucking hell, eh? How shit's life? You're out of the storm. You're 193 centimetres. You're 105 kilos. Shit life. So Nelson, I think it's sad, man, the way it's happened. If it was just like a big contract, I would obviously, you know, that's just footy. But I just think that these, you know, and we're not getting into it. I just think it's sad because he's been so good at the Storm.
Are we worried about Melbourne?
Now, I've been saying this for a bit now, and the sky's falling. They lost Cameron Smith. They lost Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk. My concern is these off-field things that just seem to be piling up at the Storm. And don't get me wrong. Bellamy, one of the goats, he'll be able to turn it around. But this is new territory. They've dealt with losing good players. We all know that it doesn't matter how good the player is, Bellamy will replace that. But this cultural shift and this generational shift, that's his biggest battle. It's battling this newer generation that just don't have the same values. That doesn't make them worse people. They just don't value the same things. Now, don't get me wrong. Bellamy has been able to adapt over a long period of time, but it does seem to be a much different club to what it was even 12 months ago.
And I wouldn't even say that it's creeping in. They seem to be getting in as much trouble as other teams.
Yeah, now. Totally.
I mean, for the 10 years before the last 18 months, Jesse Bromwich got in trouble once.
Yeah, and it was a massive deal.
Yeah, it's huge. It's massive. Outside of that, I can't, you know, outside of the salary cap or whatever, I can't really think of any other.
Yeah. Well, salary cap is not really, it's
different kettle of fish, yeah. Like outside of those two issues from the last 10 years, I can't really remember anything else.
Yeah, it's no like, oh, the Melbourne Storm, it's all over. Like, it's none of that rhetoric. But it's just, there is a new challenge at the Storm.
I mean, like, they could really struggle and finish fourth. Realistically, they could be a shit Storm by Melbourne Storm standards and they finish fourth.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. Look, I think that they're really fortunate to have guys like Papenhuyzen, guys like Munster that has obviously made his mistakes, but it seems to be that he's really turned the corner. Like, you can see his body shape, you can see the way he's talking. It's almost like it was the nail in the coffin of, like, there's no more stuff ups in Munster. I honestly think the Storm, if Munster, let's say, stuffed up again, I think they'd struggle to keep him, because at what point do you go, mate, this is not the Storm way?
I think with Munster, and people think this is outrageous, but there was a moment in Brad Fittler's career where he came back in the year 2000 and gave up the drink, got really focused on his rugby league and went to 4 grand finals in 5 years, you know, won that premiership, whatever. And I'm not saying Munster's going to do that, but the signs so far show me that if Munster's ever going to have that brain at couple of years, it's going to be the next few years.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we can talk about blokes getting in trouble, blokes leaving, blokes this, that, the other. If Munster is the best player in the comp next year, it doesn't fucking matter.
Absolutely. No, you're totally right. When watching what he did in Origin, and he wasn't even clearly not at his best. He was fucking off bend pretty much before it. I've very few times seen that. I've very few times in my life seen a bloke take the game of a highest quality against a team that's supposed to towel you up and absolutely put on a clinic, doing things that, you know, even the flashiest of players wouldn't do. You know, it was incredible. So,
and he wasn't completing set plays.
No, he was just all himself.
He was just playing off his head in State of Origin, dominating. Yep. That try where I think he kicked it 3 times in 8 seconds.
Incredible.
From one corner to the other. Like, it's scary what Munster could do over the next few years if he puts it together. I mean, we're talking about Melbourne maybe struggling. They got the two best hookers in rugby league. They got a top three halfback. They got a top three 5'8".
Top five fullback.
Yep. Centers are damn handy. We got young kids coming through that we're excited about.
Xavier Coates is probably going to fucking
Xavier Coates,
through the roof. Could you imagine how good he's going to play?
I think this year Remus Smith will play on the wing, which is where he probably should be. Mm. I think he also improves out of sight. I think the other thing too, you've got Brandon Smith leaving the end of next year. You've got Felice Kaufusi leaving too.
It's a really tough time. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It's a really tough time because not only are you battling your salary cap, you're battling this new generation that just sees things differently. Even me, I used to see things way differently to the kids that are coming through now. Like, it was just a different time. So I think Storm, I think they'll handle it, but I just think that's their challenge, is this new culture and a new kid that you need to speak to and manage and all that kind of stuff.
That's the reality. The game around the game has probably changed more than it ever has in the last 10 years, I reckon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we are going to get into the squads. We're only going to do the first eight today, but don't touch that dial. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after this break. Look at the bar. No, not radio show. So. Anyway, I just fucking had an aneurysm.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.